Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPAL and Encuentro Radio.
Can you hear me?
Nos quisimos tanto, que dijimos y juramos nunca hacernos daño. Creo que haberte conocido es lo mejor que me ha pasado. Tan bueno.
Maybe I was too naive and only saw what I wanted to. Ignoring all the warning signs, even when I knew the truth. Did you know that you were leaving? Was it something predetermined?
Pero si era tan bueno, ¿por qué no duró? Y si era tan perfecto, ¿por qué se acabó? Y solo pasó que un día te fuiste, nunca volviste, ¿en dónde quedé yo?
It looks so easy for you to walk away, to turn the page and look completely. And I can wrap my head around the fact that we went from it all. Now we're back, back to people that we don't know.
Porque es más fácil siempre terminar que comenzar, si es tan difícil.
Here on Encuentro Radio, the digital radio station for CEPALC. My name is Hannah, and I'm joined once again by Michelle and Mariana. How are you both?
I have mixed emotions because when we started the year, we had Phoebe, and now she's no longer with us. So, but I'm also happy that I had the opportunity to be here for our final episode. So it's like mixed.
Yeah, we miss Phoebe too. It's nice to have a big group on Mirrored Voices. But hopefully she's doing well. Hopefully if you're listening to us or later or anything, you know, big hi, big hug.
Yes.
How are you doing, Mariana?
I'm tired.
That sounds about right.
Because it's my last week for my university.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lot of presentation. Actually, I have 2 presentations this morning. And I be like walking to my in my university, and my hips don't work so well. So when I start talking in the presentation, I was like, it hurts. I don't want to be here. But I'm happy to be here. And you, Hannah, how are you?
I'm also pretty tired. There's a lot going on this week because it's kind of that, like, that final push of the year.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things to try to get done in time and then be able to take a break. It's always kind of hard, that last push when you're like, we're so close to being done, and yet so far.
I feel like the days are literally not moving. I woke up today and I was like, is it Friday already? And then no. I was like, no, we have mirrored voices. That means it's Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in my case, I said, like, maybe I finish tomorrow because on Friday I don't have class.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's not true. Because actually yesterday I was in my essay with the music group on the university. And the teacher said, like, the presentation for Saturday, it's on 4 p.m. And it's not close to Bogota.
Oh.
So I'm going to be here in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I go to lunch and later I take a bus to try to get there. I can. I'm so tired. I don't want to.
Good luck. So we are, as we mentioned, ending 2024 a little bit early here at the radio station. But what is one thing that you guys are proud of this year? Proud of something that you did or accomplished or in general in the world, or proud of something you stopped doing, or what are you proud of this year?
In my case, I would say I am proud that I managed to do all the things that I wanted to do at the beginning of the year, like improving my Spanish.
I was going to say, you should be proud of learning Spanish.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are proud to the extent that Adam, my supervisor, said they will not be paying for my classes the following year. They were like, oh, Michelle, I've heard a lot of things about your Spanish, and we don't think it's necessary for you to continue. And I was like, but I want to know more. There's so much I still need to learn.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of that, because it's something that I never thought I'd be able to achieve, especially considering how difficult it is learning a language at an older age.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
And then also the bits and pieces of what I wanted to achieve in work and my personal life and the goals that I set at the beginning of the year. I'm really proud that I managed to, well, I'm almost at the end of doing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's me.
Great.
And what are you proud of, Mariana?
It's difficult because we have, like, a similar question for Alo Hecho Pecho.
Okay.
But actually, I don't remember what types of things I want to do this year. Like, fine, if I finish 2023, I don't remember what things I said I want to do for 2024, but I guess that I'm proud that I have, like, a good moment in my university. I have a good, how do you say promedio?
Average.
That thing.
Yeah,
I can. But yeah, it's like, also I do a lot of things. I work, I study, I need, have other responsibilities. So I guess I'm proud of that I can and try and do all the things, so good much I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like one this week and I finish and everything's okay. Every, class was good. So I'm happy for that. I'm proud.
That's good.
And you, Hannah?
I'm proud that I finally adopted a dog.
I wanted to say that. I was waiting to say that.
I think that was my biggest accomplishment this year. Something that I've wanted to do for a long, long time.
Many years.
Many, many years. I've always wanted a dog, and so I'm proud of myself for finally being like, you know what? I can do it.
We're so happy for you. And Choco is the most adorable dog ever.
She's the cutest, the most adorable, the sweetest dog. And sometimes I still look at her, I'm like, I did that.
And I guess
went and adopted her.
Choco is like the perfect dog for you, because I know honestly, maybe you do like a match for the personalities that you have and she have, and I get that so good, because in my case with my cat no, that's not good, she hate me.
I think it was, I mean, we did like go to the shelter and pick her out and like met, you know, they take her out of the enclosure with like a bunch of other dogs so that you can kind of see her, and we met another dog also. But it's really hard to know what a dog's personality is actually going to be when you take them home, when you take them out of that, like, shelter environment, and they get used to being in your house and, like, what their personality actually is. But she really is just very, very calm. She likes to play and run around a little bit, but then most of the time she's like, I just want to chill out near you and let me sleep. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. I'm proud of myself for finally taking the step to do that this year. And then realizing, like, why didn't I do this a while ago?
Yeah. I guess for, like, the person that never have a pet, not realize how much love be there for you. Because all my life I have cats. So when my cat died, my parents said, like, we're not gonna have more cats, just my baby right now and no more. And later appear the little baby, and right now it's like the young baby in my house. So yeah, it's like a good experience that you can have a dog or a cat, whatever you want, but it's like something that maybe in a moment in your life you needed to have it, because it's a new experience and it's a new love.
It's a lot of responsibility, but also a lot of love and cuteness and joy.
Exactly.
In company. I'm just so happy that you did it whilst I was still here, because I was nudging you a lot. So I'm really happy.
So anyone who's tuning in to listen to us today, welcome to send us a message to say what you're proud of this year. As we, you know, look towards next year and all of the challenges and adventures I can face, I think it's a good opportunity to realize that we've accomplished things this year that are worth being proud of. Today's music, we are listening to some of the Latin Grammy winners this year. The Latin Grammy Awards were held November 14th. So the first song we listened to was from the best new artist, Ella Taubert, with a song with Joe Jonas, or a version of a song with Joe Jonas. And we'll be listening to some other, especially the women who won Latin Grammys.
I love it.
Still, it seems like dominated by men, but there were many women who won their Grammys. So we'll be listening to some of them on the program today. And speaking of which, we'll go to a quick song break with Kenny Garcia, who won Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album for Garcia.
García, abre los ojos y disfruta del paisaje. Andas pensando en lo que viene y se te olvida dónde has llegado y lo cabrón que ha sido el viaje. ¿Te acuerdas en calle Lidia tú jugando a la pelota? Siempre sintiéndote algo loca y algo rota. La más pequeña de los tres y la más cuerda. Muchos creen que yo la tengo clara y que sé a dónde voy. Y aún en el espejo muchas veces no sé ni quién soy. Quiero bajarle a este tren por un momento, pero no puedo. Y mirar a los domingos con mi viejo, que fueron buenos. Voy soltando lo que pesa, voy sanando mi cabeza. Estoy con quienes me interesa y tengo en mi esquina los
todo el ron y acabo en redes haciendo un buen papelón. Tengo miedo de que mi familia ya no llame, porque de seguro ya ni está de viaje. Tengo miedo de perderla a ella, que se lleve al perro y no dejen huellas. Ay, y cada día lo repito, todos los caminos que donde venga a Puerto Rico, para la gira donde sea mi alojo, para la vida una hamaca en Cabo Rojo. Quiero bajarle a este tren por un momento, pero no puedo. Y mirar a los domingos con mi viejo, que fueron buenos. Voy soltando lo que pesa hoy, sanando mi cabeza. Estoy con quienes me interesa y tengo en mi esquina a los más bravos, aunque sea. García, cierra los ojos y agradece porque sabes de dónde vienes, pero a veces se te olvida dónde has llegado y lo cabrón que ha sido el viaje.
We got a little distracted here, behind the scenes talking about some new goals for next year, mostly recipes, especially for us foreigners, some Colombian recipes that we would like to try.
Yeah.
To make as we continue to learn. So you can also tell us recommendations for recipes to try. I was saying I would like to make arepas because I feel like in my head they don't seem like they would be that hard. Lots of varieties and like different ways to do them. But that might be one thing I try next year.
Okay.
So we are for our last program also talking about, you may have seen a couple weeks ago, talk of indigenous lawmakers, indigenous policies, people trying to protect indigenous rights within society. And so I have a little audio clip of something you may have heard recently from New Zealand. Versions of this on social media lately, or is that?
Yeah, I saw that the video on the government in New Zealand, and I saw the players of maybe rugby or something like that for New Zealand, and they do that before start the game.
Yeah. How about you, Michelle? Have you heard anything about this?
No, I'm in the dark on this one. Okay. Is it like a war cry or?
Sort of, yeah. That's the kind of the hard thing with social media these days is the algorithm is so specific. I never know if it's something that I'm seeing a lot just because I ended up on that side of TikTok, or if it's something that really a lot of people know about.
True.
So we'll learn about some more together. This is what's called haka, which is a traditional like chant, song, dance from the Maori indigenous group. Which can be used as like a war cry. It can be used as like a way of showing strength, a way of, you know, empowering people. A lot of different uses and different types as well. So this was an example of haka being used as a protest in the New Zealand Parliament just a few weeks ago. So the lawmaker who starts it off is Hannah Rafiti Maiki Clark, who also made history as the youngest parliament member in 170 years at 22 years old in January. And she performed a haka as part of her like initiation or her, you know, beginning in service. And she's talked a lot about being aware that as a young indigenous woman, there are other young indigenous women looking up to her for leadership, for her, you know, policy making, for, you know, the example she can set for more women, for more young people, for more indigenous people, mm-hmm. to be able to step up and be leaders. This haka in November also stood out because a lot of other Maori lawmakers and people in the gallery joined as a protest. So what are they protesting? There was a proposed change to a treaty that dates back to 1840 between the Maori and British settlers. This is considered one of the founding documents for New Zealand, which supposedly was a document to talk about coexistence, about how, you know, the indigenous Maori group and the British colonizers would live together. Mm-hmm. I learned some history about this document. It's fascinating, actually. So this document, when it was signed back in 1840, was written with a version in English and a version in Maori, with huge differences in the translations. For example, the Maori version claiming their absolute authority over their land, resources, sovereignty, etc., while the English version pretty much states the exact opposite, that the Maori cedes their rights and sovereignty to the Queen of England. So that gives you a lot of problems, mm-hmm. With especially the British settlers or colonizers thinking they have a right to take over the land, to govern the people, to use the water and resources how they see fit, or, you know, according to the crown and to the queen, when the Maori version of the document says that they don't have rights to do that, which obviously, as we see in the history of colonialism, causes a lot of problems, a lot of violence, a lot of death, a lot of imprisonment, a lot of war. The British colonizers took almost 90% of Maori land, and now the majority of the population, so non-Maori, non-indigenous people, mm-hmm. rewriting their version of history, which is also something we see over and over again.
Yeah.
For example, this week, tomorrow, in the U.S. is Thanksgiving. That's another pretty classic example of, you know, the white settlers gain control of the government and write the history books and then have a different version of events. So we grew up learning about Thanksgiving as like, oh, the pilgrims, the European pilgrims and the Native Americans sat down and had this great celebration for the harvest, and they helped each other out, and, you know, everyone was happy in the end, mm-hmm. when really the story of Europeans coming into what is today the United States is a lot more violent and problematic and traumatizing for indigenous communities. So we have that kind of similar dynamic of rewriting versions of history. And so since 1840, acts to the treaty and tribunal investigations have tried to right some of these historical wrongs against indigenous people with settlements or reparations, basically trying to give land back to the Maori people, or giving money to Maori entities. Today, it's still only about 20% of the population now is Maori. They're still considered a marginalized group with difficulties in access to education, to healthcare, a significant gap in wages or in life expectancy compared to the larger population. However, there are a lot of right-wing conservative groups that are growing in popularity in New Zealand, as well as we're seeing all over the world as well, mm-hmm. these very right-wing conservative groups gaining power. So these groups say that this treaty is unfair to the non-Maori people, which, again, I think is typical white people behavior. I'm saying that as a white person. Of any time we're trying to address the specific needs and rights of a historically marginalized group of people, mm-hmm. there is always some white man that comes out and says, that's not fair, that's discrimination, what about me, why do they get special treatment and I don't? To me, that seems like exactly what's happening here. Mostly white groups talking about how the treaty causes more division, it unfairly favors this indigenous population, or that it causes, you know, as opposed to honoring or accepting indigenous culture, that no, it causes division, It's unfair. And so the lawmaker, Hannah, used this kind of moment to rip up the her papers, like the bill, and to start this haka, this cry out, this, you know, way to energize people to say that, you know, revising this treaty would undo a lot of the progress that they've been trying to make so slowly, and a way to kind of bring more people, to motivate more people. Yeah. So more people joined in, and it's not just in Parliament, but on the streets in New Zealand. There have been a lot of Maori protests, marches, more people singing haka or doing other kinds of protests to try to make sure that this law does not pass. And that's, as far as I know, it hasn't passed yet. It doesn't seem like it will, but Indigenous communities wanted to, you know, it's especially after the U.S. elections, it's like, oh, no, that's not going to pass, everything's fine, to know that there is always a possibility.
Yes.
There is always a possibility that people vote for things like that, that, you know, something you think, oh, that's never going to happen, we've made so much progress, there's no way we can go backwards. There is always a chance, unfortunately. And so groups like the Indigenous people in New Zealand, but in general, that's why groups need to be so vocal about and pushing lawmakers and pushing policy to make sure we don't go backwards, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people like us that we have, how do you say, privileges?
Privilege
that we don't realize what happened with these communities. Mm-hmm. And actually here in Colombia, we are colonized by the Spain, country Spain. And actually was like a situation so hard because they trying to explain, and a lot of historical papers said that they discovered us. It's like, mm-hmm. but we are here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, there's, well, here in Bogotá and so close, in El Altiplano Condiboyacense, there's a lot of spaces that you can find, like, some things about the indigenous people, but that's not something that they're gonna tell you if you are, like, in a tour of Bogotá. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna explain that, and there's, like, mayor that, like Galan that we have right now, that it's like not care about that, because actually I guess was so close where I live, like more close, that they found like some things about the indigenous community, one of them, and for that people was like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And to like, really? So in this situation it's so difficult. Because there's a lot of people that not understand that we are not like close to Spain. They're not close to England. Mm-hmm. And more of the power that England have was for that type of situation, to go to other country, take all the resources, take everything, take people, and it's like, not care for a mm-hmm. lot of people. So actually in my career they're trying to explain that maybe in the school we need to try to explain other mm-hmm. history that the normally that we know, because yeah. actually in a class a teacher, a history teacher, he just talked about military strategies and all these things for La Batalla Boyacá, and my other teacher trying to ask, and what happened with the women's? Mm-hmm. And what happened with the black people? Mm-hmm. And what happened with the indigenous people? They don't have the resources that the Spain people take for us and all this, undo all these things. So I guess that's something that maybe we need to try to understand. And I guess for the haka, maybe there's like bad information in the social media, mm-hmm. because they're trying to say other things that actually you said, Hannah. So it's like a confusion for a lot of people mm-hmm. that maybe don't understand what it's the meaning mm-hmm. for the haka, because it's not just something that they do. they have a meaning for the indigenous people, and they, it was a ritual that they do and have a lot of meaning, but that's not something that the people care about that.
Yeah, and it's not just, and it's not like a way of inciting violence. It can also be done at celebrations, at weddings, at rugby games, at a way of like energizing people, a way of showing strength, a way, you know, it can be a way of preparing for battle, but it can also be a lot of other things.
Yes.
And that's what happens when you have historically, you know, especially white men writing history books. You get one perspective of the events that happened, usually from the people who won the battles, and the stories, the other stories that make up that panorama, that make up that event, get lost or pushed to the side, like purposefully, you know, silenced.
Yeah.
Or just lost. They're not recorded in the same way, or they don't, you know, survive through history, which is obviously a problem. And most of our understanding of indigenous cultures in these countries that have, you know, been colonized and are now primarily non-indigenous populations happens a lot. We don't really hear a lot of those indigenous stories. And that's slowly changing, but still, you know, not really.
To some extent. I remember my first visit to the, I don't recall the name of the museum, because I went to this one museum, which is in the central of Bogota. Mm-hmm. It was on a Sunday, because normally, as foreigners, if you want to go to museums, you have to pay $10, but that day it was free. And I was really surprised to see that there was actually a section that was dedicated to indigenous people, indigenous culture. It even had indigenous music. And for me, it was really amazing, because that showed inclusivity to some extent. Like, they had a special part where people who were interested in knowing more about the indigenous culture would go to that corner and learn more, which was really interesting for me, because it was the first time that I had seen something like that. Because technically it was like a, it used to be a prison thing, and then they were showcasing like the rooms that prisoners were kept in, the forms of punishment that were given to the prisoners and the prisoners' names and stuff like that. But it was really amazing and refreshing that there was also that part of the history of Colombia in that museum.
Yeah, we can't tell our own history only telling, like, oh, we were great the whole time and we did everything the right way and we were such good people. That's a very naive, you know, I think part of history, we have to recognize our past mistakes in order to improve, in order to try to not make those mistakes again, in order to not move backwards. But a lot of people don't want to talk about how their ancestors did things wrong.
Ancestors are always right.
Right. They're like, no, that's, you know, you should be proud of your history. And I think, yes, but with nuance. You know, you can be proud of your history, but you have to be able to acknowledge the way that, you know, things should have changed, or the way that things did not go as well as they could have.
True. And it was really interesting to know this about the Haka, because in my country, the only Haka we know is when sexy men are doing it in rugby before the game, and we're all hyped up. We don't hear the words that they're saying, but we're all excited to see these men, you know, doing it before the game. So it was really interesting to know that there's more to that.
Yes. So we'll go to a little bit of a music break. We'll go to the best urban music album, which was from Karol G, the Mañana Será Bonito Bichota Season.
Dice, fue una opa que analice. Parto cada país que pise, desde que el avión aterrice, tengo los míos felices, eso es lo que siempre quise. Yo no tengo gente que me envidia, yo lo que tengo es aprendices. Quieren ser como yo, ya los vi, pero son hasta
está a la venta. Yo lo siento, pero el flow no está a la venta. No, no se vende ni se presta. La gente está rompiendo en lo que se espera. Y yo sé que a muchos les desespera. De todos los estilos, todas las maneras. Parezco Goku con las siete esferas. La paisa llevando la delantera. Dejándola alta como quiera. Tengo manes peleándose por mí, sí. Las diqueras. Y si le duele que la esté rompiendo como se supone, pues mala mía. Puedo vivir como cuatro vidas sin trabajar, solo con mi regalía. Tengo gente que no me creía queriendo trabajar en mi compañía. Y mujeres que me dicen que por mí llevando sin miedo se cambiaría. La bicha está la dura la tipa, rompo yo cantando hasta con gripa. Llego a España y me dicen tía, tú te mando un flow de la hostia que flipa. Desde cero hace rato pasé, mi fan o mío somos inseparables. Me siento increíble, imparable. Quieren ser como yo, ya los vi, pero el flow no está a la venta. Yo lo siento, pero el flow no está a la venta. No, no se vende ni se presta. Que quieren ser como yo, ya los vi, pero el flow no está a la venta. Yo lo siento, pero el flow no está a la venta. No, no se vende ni se presta.
So it was S91 from Karol G's winning album at the Latin Grammys this year. And now I'll pass it over to Mariana. What do you have for us today?
Okay, on Monday we have the International Day to Eliminate Violence Against the Woman. Mm-hmm. That every November 25, the murder of Mirabal's sister in the Dominican Republic by Trujillo is commemorated. So in this situation, the how do you say ONU?
The UN, United Nations.
Yes, I think it in Spanish. The UN start talking to, like, take more decision about to trying to eliminate the violence against the woman. So they trying to found, like, the way to propose more things to do every continent that maybe can do for eliminate this violence. This was on November 15, but in this case was just one country that said that he's not agree with that. Mm-hmm. So this was Argentina that vote against a resolution seeking to condemn gender violence. Just 10 days before the global march for November 25, in a provocation similar to that of March 8, Women's Day, that they the day chosen to this like take in the Salon of de las Mujeres and take down the picture of females and trans women. There's heroines, artists, and intellectuals and reflect only images of men. This happened on March 8, and it's obviously not only the public protection police are doing. So the situation in Argentina right now is so difficult because was the only country. There's obviously other countries that said, like, I don't want to participate for this and not say more and be quiet, but for Argentina, they prefer said not, that they not agree with that. And in Argentina, there's femicide every 37 hours, according to the Mumala Observatory. So that is why November 25 is a day of mourning for feminicides, and of mourning because it's not only is what is done enough. So there's a lot of people that trying to find other solution and found every possibility that the violence against the woman stop. but with this situation, it's so difficult that happened with a country like so important for the women, because in Latin America, Argentina was one of the first country that said that was agreed with the abortion. Mm. I remember when that happened. But right now, we don't know what's going on, because actually it's so sad, but can happen the same that in U.S.
Mm-hmm. Another example of, you know, right-wing conservative take power and, you know, you start to go backwards in history.
Yeah, so the Mumala Feminicide Observatory expressed that an alarm at the decreasing complaints for victims of feminicides. That it's not a surprise that this is happening. So in 2024, only 12% of feminicide victims had filed a complaint. That is different with the previous year, was so significant. That was 2023 that have the 23% that had resorted to justice, and in 2019 have the 18%. So before that the government of Milei appeared, there's a lot of women that trying to take the option to survive to a violent man, and obviously they have all the solution and like a good way to do that. But right now this is not happening. Mm-hmm. So far this year, 212 crimes against women have been committed. Five hundred twenty-six feminicides have been committed. And 194 girls and boys and adolescents have been orphaned by gender-based violence. Mm. That's something that happened here too. Actually, the daughter of Rosa Elvira Celi is one of the girls that trying to found a way that the government support the orphan boys and girls for a feminicide. Actually, you can find the only interview that later for a lot of years of the feminicide for Rosa Elvira Celi, that she explained how was the way that she found all the things that these men do for the mom, because not just was the feminicide, there are obviously more things that you can understand more. But yeah, it's like understand that this is not something that Argentina is gonna trying to help the resolution to eliminate and prevent violence against women. Mm-hmm. So this document was approved by 170 countries and only 13 nations said, I'm not wanna participate. But the only country that said that it's not agree with that was Argentina. So there's other thing that it's the Olympia law. I don't know if you know something about it.
With the digital violence?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Olympia law was approved in Argentina, but we actually don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because this Olympia law started in Mexico, mm-hmm. but right now be in Argentina, in Colombia, no? But we don't know what is going on with this country. So it was something that a lot of people be scared that was the only country that said that not be agree with that. And actually in Argentina, for the institution, you not need to say, I'm going to say in Spanish because for me it's more easy explaining in Spanish. So in the Spanish you said sargento. Mm-hmm. And sargenta.
Okay.
But right now, no. For Milei said that it's not necessarily use the female words to do that. So that's something that it's difficult, because one of the things that the woman trying to found that is in the vocabulary and in the language trying to be there, because in a lot of moments just said the men. mm-hmm. and the men, it's for everyone, but that's not true. So yeah, the situation with Argentina, it's so scared. We don't know what's going on. Obviously, we need to be alert with that. But it's not a surprise because we know what type of man is Milei, and it's so sad mm-hmm. because when appeared like the election, he was vote for more young people than old people, mm. and that's something that I have today.
That's scary. Both the case of Argentina and the U.S. I think are just very sad and very scary. We'll go to maybe some music to lift up some of our spirits. So we'll go to Aterciopelados. Won the Latin Grammy for Best Rock Album for the album El Dorado en Vivo. And so we'll listen to a little of that and then go to a review of the year before we're done. Has happened this year. It's hard to keep track of it all. So we'll, for our final section in our final program of 2024, see if Michelle can help us remind us some of the things that happened, some review of this year.
Yay! Well, it has been an amazing year here at Marriage Voices, and I'm happy that Even though sometimes we had super busy schedules, we managed to have the programs. Sometimes it would be Hannah and me, Marianne and me, Marianne and Hannah, but still we managed to have programs on the show. So we normally start our programs in February, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in February this year, we talked about UN Day of Happiness. I'm pretty sure that was the first time we've talked about Happiness Day. And we also talked about the first written author and poet and princess in Mesopotamia. I'm sure, Hannah, you're the one who shared about her on
the
program.
Yeah, and then actually later there was in the Revista Encuentro, in the Encuentro magazine, Felix also did a whole section on nuestra historia in Hispana.
Interesting. And then in March, we talked about different Easter traditions in the world, which was a very interesting topic because we were like four of us, each from a different country, and we shared different traditions from our countries. And then we moved on in April, where we talked about Trans Visibility Day. I remember it had some controversy because it was on the same day as Easter Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of backlash on that, especially in the States. And then in May, we talked about International Language Day, World Book Day, and Lesbian Visibility Week. And then we also talked about the social media trend of men versus beer.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Awesome.
Still prefer the beer.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. And then we also talked about the International Day of Football and Women's Football. I remember, Mariana, you were excited because the World Cup was in Brazil, I think.
I'm continuing exciting.
Okay, that's great. And then we also talked about the International Day of Action for Women's Health. And then we moved on to June, which is Pride Month. We talked about Pride. We also took it over to July, which is Disability Pride Month. And then we moved on to women in economics, like the important women who are making moves in the economic sector. And in July, we talked about the new child care at the Olympics. This was when we had the Olympics. And also the 50-50 gender split, which was like a major achievement whereas women are concerned. And then in August, we talked about sex texting and sports. And I remember we highlighted more about this boxer, I think, who had to be tested because she was not allowed to participate. And I remember we also talked about Caster Semenya, how she went through the same thing. And then we moved on in September. We talked about SEPALC workshops, mainly on menstruation and sex education. This was Hannah, right? When you went to meet her?
Yeah.
And then we also talked about how climate change is affecting our food. Like, I remember there was this point I stated out about how coffee is more expensive now because of climate change.
Yes.
And then we moved on to October. We talked about the International Day of the Girl Child. I also talked about Malala and her work on raising awareness and supporting the girls in our country and also different countries as an activist. And then we were around Halloween that time, because Hannah talked about the important women in literature. I think you highlighted the lady who did Shakespeare. What was her name?
No, the who wrote Frankenstein. Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley, who wrote the Frankenstein's monster classic.
Exactly. And I remember we each talked about a different woman who has made significant history in the literature. And then we talked about the South Korea. This is recent, November. Mm-hmm. I'm now in November. Yeah, I'm now in November. We talked about the South Korea for Abuse movement, mm-hmm. and other protests. I remember asking each one of you if you would have been up to doing this, which was interesting, very interesting. And, oh, I skipped September. September, we talked about Suicide Prevention mm-hmm. Month. We touched a lot on that, raising awareness on suicide, mental health, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that in a nutshell, that has been our year, ladies. We did good. We touched on many social justice mm-hmm. issues, and we also kept on with trends that were within each month as we went on with our programs. Mm-hmm. So I'm really... I'm really happy to have been a part of that, because as I was reflecting on where we've been, what we've done, and where we are now, I was actually pleased that we are not hosting a boring show, because we have a lot of different aspects in mm-hmm. there. So, yeah, that has basically been the overall of what we did this year.
Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you. We've covered a lot, there's never quite enough. You know, there's always more to talk about, and things that we didn't get a chance to do. But join next year, hopefully, for more topics. Thank you to everyone who has tuned in to our programs or who has listened or downloaded the podcast version later on. Mm-hmm. And thank you for tuning in to all of the programs here on Encuentro Radio. Don't miss the last programs this week. Final day of radio on Saturday with the kids programs and young adult programs. I mean, this is young adult too, but Saturday specifically programs. I mean, I'm not that old yet. So thank you, everyone. And we hope you'll tune in again in February when these programs come back. Any other final goodbyes, thank yous before we have to sign off?
I wanted to say that in this break that we're going to be taking from radio, maybe our listeners can also help us with creative topics that we can cover in the coming year. Mm-hmm. And we can think about what are some of the issues that we can talk about in the coming year.
Yeah.
That's true. That enjoy the programs that be in the page mm-hmm. of Encuentro Radio. I guess be everything. Maybe, I'm not sure. But yeah, enjoy it and listen to the last program that we have for this week.
Yeah, and I know.
The other year.
Yeah,
I know it's super early, but on behalf of the host of Myriad Voices, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy
yes.
New Year,
yes.
because we happy won't have days. Any more time to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also Happy Thanksgiving for those who celebrate that.
Yes, thank you everyone. Happy holidays. Have a great rest of your year, and we'll talk to you again in 2025.
Bye, bye.
We'll end with Naty Peluso, who won the best alternative song for El Día Que Perdí Mi Juventud.
Oh, interesting talk. Interesting name.
Con esas máquinas de ahora, seguro que inventaron una que me devuelva a la tierra justo el día en que perdí mi juventud. No hay ningún testigo del momento de la desaparición. Para ver si aún la reconozco. Creo que robaron mi inocencia el día que perdí mi juventud. Voy a fumarme un cigarrillo y en un banco me echaré a llorar. Me visitan
Necesito que vuelva la primavera. Necesito una desintoxicación. Que me prendan una máquina del tiempo. O que me dé un golpe de suerte para volver a ser yo. Qué rápido que vuelan los aviones. ¿Cuánto tarda todo en avanzar? Soñé que era una niña y que volaba y jugando me escondía entre la multitud. Ya están a